This is Dick and Rick with Big Foamy Head. I wanted to say thanks for listening to us. It has been 4 years. We started with a bunch of crickets in the background, and I guess it's got a little better, hasn't it?
I don't know if it's that much better, but we've certainly enjoyed ourselves. We've had a few good beers over that time.
Just a few.
A lot of good fun and some good music and some good eating and living the Memphis lifestyle, even though I don't live there anymore.
And we got a lot more of it to come, and we want you to keep up with us and our doings. And so we're pimping ourselves real hard for you. Go to our Facebook page and be our friend. All you got to do is go to Facebook.com and search for Big Foamy Head. One word, because we're sort of illiterate and we mash everything together. So look for Big Foamy Head on the Facebook page, or follow us on Twitter, again with the one word thing, Big Foamy Head.
It's a group, so sign up with the group, and we're trying to get our numbers up, you know. So please do that. And if you don't have a Facebook account, it's a good reason to start one.
That's right. So be our friend. Drink good beer. Thanks for 4 years, and there's a lot more coming.
On with the show.
Every day I have the blues.
Welcome to Big Foamy Head, the J.W. Lee's beer show. And we've got barley wine all the time. The official Big Foamy Head motto. Buy the t-shirt. The barley wine's already working, and I've had none. Getting near it.
Or the t-shirts, if you prefer.
The t-shirts.
Can you buy that t-shirt on Beer Safari?
No. But you can go to BigFoamyHead.com. Speaking of Big Foamy Head, Beer Safari. See, look, I'm just standing next to the barley wine. I'm already confused.
It does get you verklempt standing next to it.
A little, I'm a little drunk. Misty. Contact drunk. We discovered something new. Only with barley wines is this possible to achieve. A contact drunk. Secondhand drunk.
You know, when you hang around stupid people, they dumb you down. I guess that's what's happening.
Is that
you,
what it huh? is? Yeah. Okay. Well, says Dick, Rick, Mike, and John, enjoying the fruits of J.W. Lee's Vintage Harvest Ale. And we're drinking the same beer that becomes four different beers, because the beer is dropped into casks of, what do we got? Calvados, Lagavulin, no one knows how to pronounce it, our Scotch whiskey. And we've got sherry casks and port casks. So we're starting with the Scotch whiskey one. And Rick, you were just saying about the type of whiskey that these barrels used to contain before they had J.W. Lee.
Right. The whiskey is a Lagavulin. Has been described as the aristocrat of Islay's. It has an unmistakable, powerful peat smoke aroma, described as being robustly full-bodied, well-balanced, and smooth with slight sweetness on the palate. So that's the character that's imparted. These were brewed in 2007's limited edition, 11.9% alcohol by volume, and the brown cap. So
the brown cap?
I think it's brown. Is that brown? Yeah, it's brown.
Yeah. Brown. And these are sort of like nondescript bottles. There's nothing flashy. There's no, you know, abstract alligator or Asian chicks.
No, pretty plain label.
Just pretty plain label. It says right there, but
it's a classy looking label.
It is very classy.
And everything looks
elegant.
It's got some shiny gold letters on there.
Yeah. It's very understated, but what's inside packs a big punch. And Rick got chunkage with his, so he is enjoying the more organic version.
The vitamin B12 that comes from the yeast, right?
That's right. Use a spoon so you get every drop.
Okay.
And ours is clean, right?
Very clean. It's got a little stuff down in the bottom, but we were fortunate enough to keep it kind of still and not get any of that.
I was reading the history of J.W. Lee's on the interwebs, and apparently they started in 1828. It was a retired cotton manufacturer. I don't know how you manufacture cotton, but
you
weave it.
I think it was in the Manchester region, and people weren't too fond of drinking water back then because it had cholera. So they were drinking up to 12 pints of beer a day, and apparently had a very successful brewery. It was a good place to put it.
The brewery was at Greengate Brewery in Middleton Junction for six generations since 1828. I got some more stuff.
Well, I'm going to butcher this, but the name of Llangollen is an anglicization. Did I do that right?
That's close. Anglicization.
Yeah.
You said.
Of the Gaelic Llangollen.
Llangollen.
Meaning hollow by the mill, for whatever that means. I mean,
wow. I feel much more educated.
Yeah,
that.
I mean, that's what we're here to do on Big Foamy Head, is educate our
listeners. It's all about education.
You know, and you could be sitting at a bar one night playing trivia, and that's going to come up.
It could. You know? I can just see it now, right? Mm-hmm. And probably in
or
pop,
you could be
pop
sitting,
culture.
You could be sitting at a bar trying to figure out what whiskey you want to order, and you've never heard of anyone. Yeah, any of them, so you say, I'll take the Llangollen.
Llangollen.
Or however we pronounce it.
And speaking of trivia, where is Grolsch made?
Grolsch? Isn't it Dutch, Netherlands?
I don't know. I'm asking you.
I don't. That's what I think.
I would have guessed Holland.
Yeah, that's what I think.
I think it's Holland. It's either Holland or Denmark. Which one is
it? Well, there is.
I think we put Denmark.
There isn't a Holland.
Huh?
It's Netherlands.
There's no such thing.
Netherlands, right.
Yeah.
Maybe it's Denmark.
It's going to be one of those low-lying countries.
That would be the Danes.
Okay.
I'm not sure. But, the Danes.
Why do you ask, Grasshopper?
Because we miss that question in trivia.
Well, you should have done like the rest of the little bastards who cheat and looked it up.
We don't cheat.
All right. Wait. Let's see. You don't cheat, yet you don't win. Could there be a connection?
Yeah, we do win. We are pretty
good. Not when the cheaters are playing.
Yeah, we kind of
you lose when the
see what we do
play.
Is we go by and spill a beer on their BlackBerry while they're trying
there you
to cheat.
Go. Yeah.
We shut them down quick.
Yeah, you should too, because they're not old enough to be in there. I saw some of those 12-year-olds in there playing.
It's a Dutch brewery, Koninklijke, something like that.
Wow, that was eerie. It sounded just like Dutch or Flemish.
I thought he was speaking Pig Latin.
A friend of ours just moved to the Netherlands, and I sent her an email yesterday. And I said, so how's things going? Are you having to pimp slap those Dutchies around, get some work out of them? And I gave her the assignment to go look up what Michael Caine said about the Dutch in the Austin Powers movie. Remember?
There are only two things I can't stand in this world. People who are intolerant of other people's cultures. And the Dutch.
That's funny. That's all right. So we're pissing off both of our Dutch listeners. All right. So the J.W. Lee's Vintage Ale and the Llangollen thing. It's a very nice kind of honey colored. What does this remind me of? You know, it reminds me of like pancake syrup or something. I mean, the color in it is a very pretty goldy or a little tiny hint of orange. The head did not stay up long at all, which is kind of typical with the super high alcohol, beers. The nose is fantastic on it. It's got a rich, thick nose. And when you smell it, you get that. And Rick, you said it was the unmistakable, the nose and taste of this whiskey, the peat smoke. And it's just a very thick beer. But how does it go down? What are you getting in?
You get a little bit of alcohol.
Mm-hmm. But now, alcohol strong or alcohol scotch?
Kind of strong.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm getting a little bit of strong.
Yeah, it's definitely, it warms sweet. You up as it's going down. It's got
a
real
warmer.
Thick mouthfeel.
Yeah.
Okay, so you are getting thick. Now, but you've got chunks. Yeah. What's are you getting?
That's
thick?
True. The
I'm
mine's chewy, downright chewy.
Taste.
All right. So John's getting dry in the finish. In the marketing splooge, it says pale in color, has a warm, estery aroma, a good deal of malty flavors on the palate, and a lot of hoppy dryness in the finish. That sound close? You were saying dry. You were saying the alcohol, and some of that could be from some of the ester.
Yeah, not a lot of hop.
Yeah. Okay, not a lot. What about on the end?
No.
Good.
Okay. Rick, you concur with that?
Yeah, I'm getting a little bit of sweetness, though. So, I mean, it's got that sweetness that you get from the high-gravity beers.
Yep, mm-hmm. And that's what they said they're looking for. So as a barley wine goes, which barley wine can apparently mean damn near anything, do you tend to think of it more as towards the sweeter side rather than the hoppier side.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if you want to compare this to an American barley wine, like a Sierra Nevada Bigfoot or something, it's night and day. So
we got like a fly that we're going
to
trap.
We're going to have to do the Obama here and ninja catch that fly.
Show us your moves. Yeah, you're going to thump that fly.
I did while ago. Got it.
All right. Before the show's over, there will be one dead.
One less living
creature in this room.
You'll hear a hi-ya.
One of us is going down. It's us or the fly. Okay, so I think maybe just hold it, leave a little in the cup for the fly. I bet he'll get knocked right out. Probably burn 30 of his eyes out as soon as it gets down in it. Okay, so that's the J.W. Lee Vintage Harvest Ale in the La Vagelin. And I'll give you the background on J.W. Lee. The Harvest Ale is only brewed once a year for release on December 1st of each year. It's a limited edition vintage to celebrate the first brews from each year's harvest of barley and hops. Only the first delivery of the Maris Otter malt and Goldings from East Kent is used. So this is very simple beer. One hop, one malt. Fermentation is induced by J.W. Lee's distinctive three-strain top fermenting yeast. It reaches 11.5 to 11.9% alcohol by volume. Once completely attenuated with a natural fermentation in open copper-lined fermenting vessels that have been used since 1876. That was the last time those cheap bastards upgraded the brewery.
That's one way to think of it.
It's like J.W. Lee's can hold on to a nickel. And it says, that's where it said in parentheses, that they've
How
been brewing.
How are we going to advertise this and make it sound good?
Yeah, those cheap bastards make a good beer. Yeah, that's right. If you hold on to something, you're cheap up until a certain point, and then it's a collectible, right? Or an antique.
I saw a commercial reason that we put the no in innovation.
Yeah. That's good. Well, now it's good stuff, good looking beer, and it's one of those things that when you think about barley wine, this is beer you don't want to drink before its time has come.
These are in the 275 milliliter bottles. That's 9.3 fluid ounces. And you're going to pay more or about as much as you would for a large bomber beer. So that's just something to be aware of if you go shopping for these. They're not cheap. So hopefully the quality of the cask that they put them in and the fact that they come from overseas makes them worth the price.
Well, and I think for what you're getting, and it's a very different, unique beer, you're going to have to pay the freight a little bit, right?
That's right.
All right.
You know, in my spare time, I like sports, college sports, and I follow Ole Miss sports. So I go to their message board. And these guys are always talking about all different types of things, alcohol, dating, music. I mean, you
strippers.
Name it, sports, strippers, you know, co-cores, you name it. I usually, when we put out a new show, I'll put it out on there, say, yeah. Hey, we got a new show for you beer lovers out there, blah, blah, blah. And this one guy says, you know, I really like what you guys do. It's pretty cool. But he goes, I just don't understand how you, what's the matter with just grabbing a 12-pack of Natty Light, you know, and doing that, you know, something about the randomness of it or something. And I go, man, what could be more random than drinking a J.W. Lee's or an Abita beer or a,
whatever.
I mean, how random is that?
Yeah.
You know? But I just thought that was kind of weird.
You know you're judged by the company you keep, right?
I know. Okay. And I'm in trouble.
Stock's going way down, man. You have friends.
You're talking about you guys,
you
right?
Friend, you got friends who talk about Natty Light.
You're talking about you and Rick and
we
John,
should get,
right?
We should do Natty Light. Hell yeah. We should do that. Yeah, remember, that. Mark that down for April.
Yeah, we'll do a Natty Light show.
We'll do Natty Light and
that's
MGD.
That's what we'll do, is do an Anheuser-Busch show. That'll last about, what, 15 minutes?
Yeah, well.
No, right. We were talking about doing the best of the cheap beers, you know.
Well, we were
going
to do
out trying to find out the best one.
And you know, I had in the refrigerator for a long time, real high gravity malt liquor. I had a Molson Triple X. I had a high gravity this. I had some kind of like evil looking shit. Did you hear that? That was a fly. He's going down, man.
He tries to land on the microphone. That's when you can hear him.
So, somehow, through one occasion or another, oh, the fly took a run at me. So, somehow, they started disappearing. Mm-hmm. We used one in the Christmas video. I drank one for some reason. I was getting my urban on, and I had to have me. I had to have me some malt liquor, and they're gone.
Uh-huh.
So we cannot do that. You're speaking of cheap.
Well, you can always go buy some more.
No, they're gone. But I'd actually brought these nasty bastards back from places where we can't get them around here. It's ridiculous. The flies really distract us. All right, we're going to take time out to go on a fly
hunt. We're going to fly hunt.
You enjoy some Joe Bonamassa from his new CD. I keep saying album. Dating myself. The Ballad of John Henry. There you go, Joe Bonamassa. Lonesome Road Blues, new one from Joe Bonamassa.
Good stuff.
And our beer was getting lonesome itself, so we've opened up the second one. And this one is same beer, aged in Calvados casks. And this is a 2007 beer. And we had this discussion earlier about beer and aging and cask aging. And according to Alton Brown, the aging process stops when you remove it from the cask. Mm-hmm. So a cask-aged beverage that's billed as a year old, 2 years old, 10 years old, 20 years old, is only referring to the amount of time it's spent in the cask. However, with beers, because there's some organic in it, is they can continue to ferment slightly and some of the flavors mature and meld as they cellar, right? So we're drinking a 2007, and I tried to find how long did these sit in the cask. I failed.
About 3.5 minutes.
I saw like 6 months. I saw 6 months. Yeah, 3.5 minutes, right? We wanted to bottle it while it was fresh.
Yeah.
Put a born on date on that thing. So where's the mountain? So we know that it's cold enough to drink. So you don't taste this.
Wait up, that label turned green, so it's got to be ready to go.
Okay, yeah. It turns bright green.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're on the Calvados one, and Rick, you looked up and did your scientific research on what the hell is Calvados?
Calvados is a spirit, and it's from apple orchards and somewhere in France.
Normandy region? Or what they call the Calvados region?
I think it's actually called Calvados.
It is?
It's the French department of Calvados. It's part of the region of Basse, Normandy?
Yeah.
Am I doing that right?
Close enough.
In Normandy.
You got an Ole Miss hat on. Shit. You're doing good.
It takes its name from a cluster of rocks off the coast.
Okay.
If you look at the map, it's all the way up in the north,
up yonder,
east, way up yonder in the north.
In Calvados,
I've been to that section of France before. That's actually where some of our coworkers from my company work, and a lot of them really consider themselves Britons. You know, because the Normans and the Britons, they're all kind of really interrelated, and there was a lot of marriages going back and forth, and. You know, that area of Normandy is actually, they call themselves Britannians or Britons.
Yeah. The French are some seriously screwed up people.
For a small country, they've got a lot of regions,
you know? They piss off a bunch of people, too. They do a really good job of that for being, you know, French. But this is not French beer. It's French cask with English barley wine. Okay, so what's the word? This is a little darker in color. Not much. It's more towards the darker honey, and the head dissipates immediately.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a more malty flavor, I think, a little darker.
I think it's a little more effervescent, too. It's got a little more bubble to it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think it's got apple cider in it?
Yeah, you know, I don't know.
You getting any apple?
No, I'm not.
I don't think you would.
I'm getting some amount of fruit.
Are you getting some fruit?
All right. A little bit of fruit esters. I've got some serious chunkage still. I mean, I can see the sediment just floating around in the glass.
Yeah, I can see it. Now, are you really? Is that bothering you when you drink it? Just giving it a better mouthfeel or what?
No, but it would. I'm sure a novice beer drinker would freak out about it.
Yeah, I think like you just poured a rat out of the bottle or something. Little baby rat.
Probably toss it out and say, this beer's gone bad.
That's right.
It reminds me of tequila worm, you know, you drink it.
It reminds me, I did some homebrew not long ago and I had a wasp ended up in my glass.
A little wasp flavored beer. Yummy.
That's pretty good.
How long did the wasp ferment?
About 3 months, I guess.
Okay, you got to let those wasps sit up long enough.
You don't get the nose, the alcohol nose out of this one like you did the other one.
Okay.
What's the alcohol on this one compared to the other one?
It's the same.
The same.
Yeah.
Okay. They're all.
Yeah, I'm not
same.
Getting it. I don't know if it's just my palate is down, wrecked with the first one, but I'm not getting near the nose I got out of the other one.
Well, the smell of it is a little richer than the other one had more like a molasses. This has got kind of more caramel and a little toasted,
a little milder
smell. It's milder, but a little richer at the same time. And like there's an after nose of maybe a little fruit, like Rick, you were talking about.
The other one had kind of like a chemical. You'd stick your nose in and it'd kind of give a chemical bite to it. All right, so
what do you think about on the finish? Hops again, or
I'm not getting the same dry thing.
No, I don't think it's quite as dry.
Okay, all right. So obviously,
not a lot of hop.
The barrels are having an effect on this beer. Mm-hmm. If you were blind tasting it, would you know it was the same beer?
I could tell they were similar.
Similar.
I mean, I'd say that's something, you know, made by the same person.
Which I think is
you're getting that scotch. I don't. You aren't getting near the smoked peat out of this one that you got out of the other one.
Because there ain't any in there.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Good beer.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
So it is a different beer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not the. It doesn't have the whiskey character.
Right.
I'm not a big brandy fan. How about you guys? Apple brandy?
I like it. Once in a blue moon. A what?
I like cognac.
Cognac, yes.
Oh,
right.
I thought you were talking about brandy down on Third.
He likes his yak and milk.
Yeah.
Good stuff, man.
Some yak, man.
You do like yak. I recall a drunken New Year's Eve phone call.
I've been drinking some yak.
You were under the yak influence.
I thought he was yakking.
Yakking.
Like 2 a.m. or something. Yeah.
We know about that yakking, don't we, Rick?
Yeah. Yeah, we know about it.
I've been there, done that. Yeah, certainly. Right. Sir.
Hence the name Roman Rick. We forgot about our nicknames, but no,
yeah,
it suddenly
sure
comes
did.
Back. Well, you know, you got to be careful drinking this high alcohol beer or it'll kill you. Hey, Segway.
Whoa. Where'd that come from?
Speaking of dead people.
I noticed you got out real quick before any of us stomped on you.
Yeah, I know. Well, and also before I forgot again, what the hell is going on around here with all these broke-ass celebrities dying?
Time to go.
In their early 50s.
Yeah.
That's what's really
funny. Yeah. We're not going to play the Jerry Lee Lewis. Who would you rather have around, Jerry Lee Lewis or the others? Because it was hands down anybody else but Jerry Lee Lewis, except in the case of Michael Jackson versus Jerry Lee Lewis, and then it was a draw. Yeah, you know, both of them stay, both of them go. Who cares? But so who's dead? Ed McMahon this week. Ed McMahon,
America's sidekick.
Yeah. Who's broke as shit? Well, now he's not technically. Yeah. Yeah, he's somebody else's problem.
He's probably worth more dead than he was alive. Just like about all of them.
All of his assets, for sure.
Farrah Fawcett. Majors Ryan now, right? O'Neill? Didn't she marry Ryan O'Neill
no,
the last minute?
They didn't do it.
They didn't do it.
I heard two stories. One they got married at the very end, and one they didn't.
He wanted to.
You think he was looking at it thinking, this chick will be worth a lot as soon as she kicks.
Yeah, could be.
I mean, yes, they bred up a kid together.
Yeah, and he's a drunken drug addict.
He's in jail.
Dude.
They let him out of jail to go see his mama on her deathbed.
Yeah. I read about that, but it's, I don't know, that just creeps me out. This guy, oh, yeah, we love each other. We're going to get married. It's like, bullshit, where you been? You've been around like 20 years.
I think that's Ryan O'Neill saying to the world, hey, look what a nice guy I am. I'm trying to marry my
dying wife. Yeah. And, I think there's that, and I think there might be a little bit of...
Put me in a commercial now, please.
Buzzards. Yeah.
They'll make a Ryan O'Neill Hallmark card or
that's
something,
right.
And he'll get a royalty from it.
That's right. Wasn't he in Love Story?
What?
Wasn't he the one in Love Story?
Yeah. Well,
it was him and Ally McGraw, right?
Okay.
Wasn't it?
I don't remember.
I've never seen the movie.
He's got some claim to fame. I don't know what it is. Tatum O'Neill talented.
Yeah. That's right.
Like you know, the Hallmark card, nothing says I love you like I'm willing to marry my dying wife of anal cancer, you know?
That's right. Yeah, and don't forget the Father of the Year Award for his kids. Tatum O'Neill, let's see. She in her time in rehab.
I thought that was Michael Jackson.
Speaking of Father of the Year, it's Michael Jackson. Prince William won.
Another broke-ass dude.
Dangles his kid over a balcony.
Yeah.
I liked it when he used to run his kids around the street with lace on their face, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Now, he was a weird cat for sure, but just fell over dead in the funniest stuff. Because as soon as I heard, I got to look it up, and I'm finding these articles about he's starting a new tour, and his manager in May was saying, Michael's doing great. He's healthy as a horse, and he's getting trained. And then here, like mid-May, there's an article about Lou Ferrigno is training him, and Michael Jackson's hulking up. And here is Jen, and he falls over dead.
Hulk pushed him a little too hard.
That's what I'm wondering. Hulk killed Jackson.
Now, they say it might be the same combination of drugs that took out, what's that Brokeback Mountain dude?
Heath Ledger.
Heath Ledger.
Yeah.
And then the girl, too, the blonde. What was her name?
Another dead one?
The big titty blonde. What's her name?
Pamela.
No. Oh, Anna Nicole
Smith. Anna Nicole Smith. That's right. Yeah. Pamela Anderson is still alive, right?
Yeah. Okay. For now.
For now. All right.
But it's like Zoloft and a couple of others.
Xanax.
Yeah.
Well,
deadly cocktail.
The most recent one, as of today, right? Billy Mays.
Billy Mays. Pitchman.
He died? Pitchman for OxyClean.
No way.
Yeah.
You didn't know?
No.
Do you need a moment?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
He didn't know.
I did not know. Signs.
We broke it live.
Well, when I walked in, you guys were talking about him. I had no idea.
Oh, yeah.
Holy crap.
Okay.
No more. What happened?
He did.
He did.
Did Vince kick his ass or something?
We don't know. He just fell.
No, Vince is still alive and well. What did Vince get in trouble for? Something.
Dude, Shamwell?
A prostitute bit his tongue or something. Or he bit the prostitute's tongue, one or the other.
I don't know who was doing that now.
What?
Yeah.
Well.
She bit him and he smacked her upside the head.
Yeah.
She deserved it then.
Well, so Billy Mays, and he was starting a new series.
He paid her $700, too.
$700?
That had to be some good stuff.
For $700?
Yeah.
I don't know. Where you at?
I don't know.
If you're on 3rd Street in Memphis, yeah, that's premium. If you're in New York, yeah, that's street corner. But enough about livestock. So all these people are dying.
What did Billy Mays die of?
We don't know. He just died.
Damn, that blows my mind.
Like this morning. He died of animal
cancer. Yeah, he was just getting a show going on Discovery Channel.
Yeah, Pitchman.
Pitchman.
Now, was that him doing it, or he was a subject of?
No, it was his show. It was him and some other dude.
Like a reality thing? So, you know what? ShamWow dude sitting in prison thinking, woo!
He probably had a hit out on him.
Yeah, that's it. We're going to start the Billy Mays conspiracy theory. Yeah.
You'll like my nuts.
Yeah. You'll like my chocolate sweaty balls.
So, who's next? Who's next on the Deadpool? How about Patrick Swayze? He's banging on death's door like crazy.
And who's the guy they said was in bad? He went into the hospital, the old guy. Oh, man. Cronkite.
Walter Cronkite?
Yeah, he's struggling.
Yeah, but he had a good ride, though.
Oh, yeah.
He's been around forever. He's like, what, 123, 124, something like that?
I'd say at least a couple of days over 100.
He was old when the world was in black and white.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
He was old when Moses was a baby.
He is real old. Well, speaking of old, we got some more cask age.
So is that our tribute to dead people?
Yeah.
I'm sure that was warming and heartfelt.
Keith Richards, when asked how he felt about the passing of Princess Diana, said, "What'd she ever do for me?"
the other guy we forgot to mention, David Carradine.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That was some weird stuff.
Didn't we talk about him on the last show?
No. We were going. I think when it was in between.
I remember talking about the shoelace around your, here.
No, I think that might have been out by the pool. But speaking of last show, though, it was about a dead person, Coco Taylor.
That's correct.
So if you have not listened to our tribute, which, believe me, it is more heartfelt and nice for Coco Taylor than Michael Jackson or Farrah or Ed or Billy or any of the other, or even David Carradine.
And Cronkite was born on November 4th, 1916.
1916?
Yeah, that's pretty old.
Hell yeah, that's old. I was pretty close, wasn't he? he getting on up there. Well, no, that's...
That was before the Roaring Twenties. Come on. That was a long freaking time ago.
Yeah.
You know, they were wearing flappers and... doing gin jukebox joints and things.
So in 1929, he turned into a teenager in 1929.
Mm-hmm.
So he saw the stock market crash.
He saw airplanes and all that.
Both World Wars, Korean War, Vietnam War,
Blackberries.
The birth of Mike Bond.
Indoor plumbing.
Yeah. Indoor plumbing.
Yeah.
Stock market crashed 8 times.
So I'm in the gym today watching this thing on the Weather Channel, of all things, and I thought, oh, they're dragging up Hurricane Katrina again. No, they weren't. They were dragging up the other flood that took out 11,000 people.
Oh, was that Allison?
No. Galveston in 1913.
Yeah, that was her tropical storm Allison. It never made it to a hurricane.
Was that Bush's fault, too?
Yeah, it was. What it I was say, Bush's hurricane? Grandfather.
Yeah, tropical. But it was like they were, had like this guy snuck in and filmed footage of it. Uh-huh. And, you know, one of the hand crank cameras.
They said Houston got 37 inches of rain.
Then
on her tropical
storm.
That's
a ways away from Galveston.
Galveston is right by Houston.
It was far enough away they didn't get washed away.
Actually, Galveston's on the beach and Houston is inland. Well, what it did, it came up and went right in the beach and went up by Houston, and it made a little. It came back down.
Yeah,
toward the Gulf.
Circled around.
And so by the time it went up and came back down, it dumped 37 inches of rain on them
suckers. That's a lot of rain.
And then it went all the way over through Georgia, Alabama, and Mississippi and all that over to the East Coast. And, yeah, they said the damage totaled well over $50 billion, I think they said it was. It was huge.
Of that generation?
Yeah, back then.
That's a surreal amount, man.
Yeah.
Because it just flooded everywhere it went. It just flooded the crap out of everywhere.
The other thing they were pointing out, though, was that apparently, the Cubans are really damn good at predicting these storms. And at that time, the U.S. was pissed at them, and they had cut off communications and forbade the Weather Department to talk to them. So they had no advance warning of this, and it caught everybody by surprise, and there you go. So, we've talked about death, we've talked about destruction. What do we got left? Famine? How's that working?
Well, it's already the celebrity rapture.
Speaking of famine, I was...
They're out in the streets of
LA. My glass is ready, so I'm ready for the third segment.
Okay. I had to do my famine part now.
I was watching the TV show today, and they were talking about that when the asteroid is going to hit the Earth, you know, type thing.
Is this the new Bruce Willis movie?
No, it's just should one hit the Earth? You know, that's what they said. We're going to have a huge famine because the temperature will drop and you aren't going to be able to grow the crops. And that's going to be the hard part is around the world you're just going to have massive famine everywhere.
I think most of us will be dead, so we won't be worried.
Well, it'll kill
that.
Millions of people, but, you know.
Well, if there's going to be shit like that, I don't want to be around.
Yeah, I hear you, man.
But what
I have a theory that only the fat Americans are going to survive the Holocaust because we're all fat.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to say we have no famine here because we've been neglecting our beer, blues, and barbecue. We've done beer. We did a good blues show, and we're bringing back barbecue. And so I cooked something for the beer show today. There's none left. Rick, I can show you the empty plate. But I smoked some big, fat chuck steaks on the grill for about an hour and a half with some hickory smoke and sliced them up and did a nice little marinade, not a marinade, a sauce. I didn't even want to use the barley wine, so I got out your favorite, that smoked Rauch beer. And I used the Marzen because I wanted a little sweet, and I cut it in some adobo. I cut in some adobo sauce and half a chipotle and let that distill down while the steak cooked and sautéed some onions and peppers in the rest of the Schlenkerla. It was great. And so we put all that together with some guacamole and cilantro and some wheat tortillas, and it's all, with the exception of the sugars in the beer, South Beach compatible for all you dieters out there.
Oh, that sounds so fantastic, actually.
Yeah, it was really not as good as I wanted to. The meat was good, the onions and stuff are good, but the sauce, the problem with cooking with beer is you can increase the bitterness the longer you cook it. And so, y'all had some. I think it went and it had a little bit. It had that residual heat at the end, which Chipotle's do.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't get heat at first, but you get it and it sticks with you at the end. But were you getting a little of that? Could you get hops in that?
I didn't get any hops. I got heat.
Good.
I got the heat.
No hops?
No hops.
Okay, forget what I said. It was perfect.
Yeah, it was. It was good.
Okay, then. All right, so we're going to bring that back, and we're going to try and cook things with beer. But there was
you said
no
that
way.
Was a chuck steak, right?
Oh, yeah, cheap-ass, 25% off. I don't think I spent $6.
They're big, giant pieces of meat on the grill.
Yeah,
Rick, it still had the jockey whip marks on it. <That's right.
laughs> Now, I bought a chuck roast, so basically it's like a 2-inch or 2.5-inch thick steak. And threw it on there and smoked it at like 225, 250 and kept hickory on it for an hour. And it rendered some fat off of it, and it was cooked. I then just put it on open flame for a couple of minutes. That was it.
Everything Low and slow. Good.
And sliced it thin, so it wasn't too terribly chewy or nothing. I thought it was fine. So that was the food segment. We are cracking up our next beer, which is what? What are you got? We've already cracked
the sherry.
The sherry cask.
Sherry, okay. I'm on it.
Is Sherry working tonight?
Sherry, baby.
She's working the pole.
Sherry.
I can't do it.
Oh, God.
Sherry, I tried.
Baby. You were squeezing it wrong. So you're drinking, we're drinking the sherry.
You know what? I like this one.
This is, now I'm that looking my at line. It.
Versus the other two you disliked?
Well, no, I like those two, but I like this one a little bit better than those other two.
This has a little reddish tinge to the beer. And is that chill?
A little cloudier.
A little chill haze.
A little cloudier.
Yeah, it's chunkage still. It's just, it is
cloudy. I think I had a little
you
sediment.
You got chunkage too, Rick?
I've got a little sediment in mine. I poured second.
Yeah, you can smell.
Sloppy second.
You can smell the.
I got sloppy seconds.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's nice. That's real nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's got that kind of floral background smell that you get like with port and sherries and things
like
that.
Yeah, it's got a great, I'm trying to come up with the word. I can't think.
It's still got that richness in the whole nose.
You know, I judge beers, and when beers start going bad, they start getting old, they get that oxidized taste, which reminds people of sherry and port. Mm-hmm. So this has a lot of that sherry flavor. Coming right through, so
mm-hmm. you know, like a bad beer. Yeah. The relation,
but no, an old barley wine or something that's well aged. You know, if it has the malt and the alcohol to support it, a little oxidation isn't a bad thing. If it's a light beer or something that's doesn't have too much body to it, then you don't want any oxidation because it just
or adjuncts. Or adjuncts. And it can turn to like fusel oil and all kinds of nasty shit in there. But and I've got something here, and Rick, I think maybe we did this before, but because we're drinking all these very nice beers, and we should have said our beer prayer before we had it. So maybe it's too late, so bow your heads. I gotta read this. Our lager with chart and barrels, hallowed be thy drink. Thy kingdom come, I fill thee mug at home as in the tavern. Give us this day our foamy head. And forgive us our spillages, as we forgive those who spill upon us. And lead us not into inebriation, but deliver us from hangovers. Barman.
Barman.
You know what that is?
Barman.
That's my Father's Day card.
Very nice.
At least you're appreciated.
I was at the Fort Collins Brewery Fest yesterday, and spilled beer was the order of the day. I don't know what it was, but it was like every time I turned around, somebody was pouring a beer on me.
Oh, on you.
Yeah.
Maybe it was the Rick's wet t-shirt contest or something, and they had to toss it on there.
It could be, but my arms are sticky from the elbow down, I'll tell you that.
So tell us about this. In Fort Collins, where were you at? Just a festival or brewery?
Yeah, it was the Old Town District. I wasn't, this is probably my first and last time I do it. It like an hour and a half to get in. And there was this bitter old woman who's scrutinizing every single ID card as you went in. She made you take your glasses off so she could look at the color of your eyes. She must have spent 3 or 4 minutes on each ID card. And then you get in, it's supposed to be like a $10 cover, and they made you buy for Saturday and Sunday. So it was $10 entry fee. And then you had to pay $2 per chip for beers, so that was like $20 per person, $40 for Carol and I to get in. Just not worth it, to spend an hour and a half in line waiting to get in there, and then have these $2 chips. So Anheuser-Busch was there. Coors was there. It was like, okay. Yeah,
that should have been your first clue.
Yeah, this is not really worth the price or the weight or the whatever. But the sundresses were just fine and all the body art and all that. I'm saying at least 50% of the girls are tattooed nowadays. I don't know if that's your observation.
I would say higher than that.
No, but it depends on where you're at and who you're looking at. Too.
Go to a roller derby deal.
Well, since you bring that up, speaking of roller derby, I did go to a roller derby deal, but it wasn't roller derby. It was a roller derby girls take their clothes off show.
Oh, it was the burlesque.
What?
Yeah, the
How
burlesque.
Many tattoos did you see?
A number of them. Mm-hmm. However, I also saw some that had none.
Yeah. Now, well, you just didn't see what you needed to see.
I saw damn near everything they had.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, the roller, and I want to point to, I have a contact now at the Memphis Roller Derby, and she loves the idea of doing a beer show.
We need to go do on location show.
I know. We're going to do something with her. She's got to take time off from her real job as a massage therapist.
Bring her over.
Yeah. Free massages with every
Put
beer
a table
purchase.
Right there.
That's right.
We got a couch.
We got a couch. We don't need a table. All right, so let's take another break. We got the infamous third segment coming up, riddled literally with class and culture.
A beer haiku.
I think we got a beer haiku and a performance piece that we're going to do on how to be a blues singer.
Cool.
Right? All right, so here's another Joe Bonamassa, funkier than a mosquito's tweeter. Whatever. that was some more Joe Bonamassa. That's a pretty good CD. Of course, we like us some Joe Bonamassa. Anyway.
I do too.
And we're liking us some J.W. Lee's Harvest Ale. And so John reminds me, he said, did we talk about this? It's like, yeah, we touched on it a little bit. Okay, so the sherry, we've had the third one, the sherry one. Very nice, different sort of nose. Got a little bit of red tint, a little cloudier. Rick, still with the chunkage. And it does, to me, it has like a little floral nose to it. What about on the finish? Are we still having dry, smooth?
I think
smooth?
It's got a dry, smooth finish. I like it. Okay. I really do.
Yeah, it's not cloying. It's not hanging out and bothering me. It's actually going away quite nicely. It's a very good sherry-based beer.
Now, Rick, how long? You've already started on number four. How long did you have it sitting out? Do you think these are beers that definitely benefit from warming up?
Officially, they've been out for an hour and 47 minutes. Yes, okay. They definitely keep them around cellar temperatures. I'd say 55 to 60 is serving temperature.
Okay, and I think that's where you're going to really start getting some of the differences in what the cask.
Just a personal preference, I would let these things, the sediment, settle on the bottom and pour them very gently. Yeah. I don't really like all the stuff floating around.
Mike just poured the port one into a Chimay glass, and I noticed this when John was pouring it. This is the most effervescent one of the lot.
It looks like the darkest.
It is the darkest, too. It's got kind of tending towards a brown.
Mine color. Is for sure.
I got the brown, chunkage. Yeah.
Definitely a amber color.
So with the port and the nose on it, and you switch glasses, Mike, so you've got a wider mouth on your glass. Are you getting more of a nose?
Much nose on this one at all. Are you getting much nose, Rick?
No, my nose is...
I'm done.
Probably not functioning right now, but there's I am getting some of the alcohol heat coming off. You know, you can smell it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely a much lighter nose. You've got a little bit to it, but it's not overwhelming. And not bad. Not bad at all. And I think this is one that we're going to have to ask the question, but not just yet.
Well, I know what you're talking about on that oxidation taste, Rick. That I'm getting that on this one off that port.
You think? Are you? Okay.
Yeah.
You think?
Now, what is a port, Dick? You're a port drinker. What makes a port?
So port is actually a fortified wine, much like Mad Dog 2020. It'd be fortified, too.
Like Mad Dog.
Fortified means you add stuff to it. So they take a red wine, and they dump a grape brandy to the wine, which kills the fermenting and leaves a substantially more alcoholic and higher sugar content port. Nearly all port is red.
Wait up. If you kill the fermenting and you stop the fermentation, how does it become a more alcohol?
Because you poured already fermented
alcoholic beverage into it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
You put brandy in it.
Yeah. And so there's this, it says nearly all port is red, but there's a special variety of white port that has little popularity outside. And this white is made by using very pale grapes. And then some, and I've heard of this, tawny port. Mm-hmm. Which I thought, oh, this sounds like a classy thing. No, apparently that's the cheap shit.
It's not any good.
Like Tawny Catane, that's the cheap shit. Right?
Yeah. You reach, man, that's like, okay. Mike remembers the 80s.
Wait, that's this
right.
Just in.
Four bottles.
Walter Cronkite. Huh? Still alive.
Okay. Man, I had 123 and found some picture of him with some older lady and Mike, goes, look at this. This old chick's looking pretty good. John says,
"Let's see.
She's a hot old bag."
And she was born in 40.
She young.
And he was born in 16.
Yeah, he's robbing the cradle,
man.
Catting around with them 60s.
She likes that rusty nail.
And just a little disclaimer: if Walter Cronkite dies before the show is produced, sorry.
Yeah, sorry. We weren't as heartfelt and sympathetic on him as we were the other dead people.
What about Swayze? Is he going to make it through the show?
Maybe. Maybe not. He looks pretty rough, but he's got a good attitude.
Ted Kennedy's in bad shape, I think.
Oh, God, yeah.
That'd leave us all.
You know what, though? On the way down into the waters of Chappaquiddick, he sold his soul.
I know.
But there still is a clock on that.
Yeah.
It's running out. He's technically been dead for 40-something years.
Kennedy ain't got to worry about it.
He's got pirates to care of me.
Hey, Kennedy's got free health care. He ain't got to worry about it.
That zombie juice is running out. The Kennedy clan. But,
You know, they made their money with whiskey, so that's not all bad.
That's true. That's true. Well, we were listening to some Joe Biden. We thought, are we really, really being hard or something on these blues, on these dead people? It's like, well, maybe, maybe not, you know, because we all like us some blues, and sometimes it hardens you to the more emotional things of life, and that's kind of way we are. And if we could, any of us, play or sing the blues, we would probably sing about these dead people. But since we don't know how, we got us a tutorial on how to play and sing the blues. Rick, how do we?
I'll start.
All right.
Most blues begin with, "Woke up this morning.
I got a good woman." It's a bad way to begin the blues unless you stick something nasty in the next line, like, "I got a good woman with the meanest face in town."
The blues is simple. After you get the first line right, repeat it. Then find some rhymes that sort of got a good woman with the meanest face in town. "Yes, I got a good woman with the meanest face in town. Got teeth like Margaret Thatcher and she weighed 500 pounds.
The blues is not about choice. You stuck in a ditch, you stuck in a ditch. There ain't no way out.
Blues cars, Chevys, Fords, Cadillacs, and broken-down trucks. Blues don't travel in Volvos, BMWs, or SUVs. Most blues transportation is a Greyhound bus or a southbound train. Jet aircraft and state-sponsored motor pools aren't even in the running. Walking plays a major part of the blues lifestyle, so does fixing to die.
Teenagers can't sing the blues. They ain't fixing to die yet. Adults sing the blues. In blues, adulthood means being old enough to get the electric chair if you shoot a man in Memphis.
Blues can take place in New York City, but not in Hawaii or any place in Canada. Hard times in Minneapolis or Seattle is probably just clinical depression. Chicago, St. Louis, and Kansas City are still great places to have the blues. You cannot have the blues any place that don't get rain.
A man with male pattern baldness ain't the blues. A woman with male pattern baldness is. Breaking your leg because you were skiing is not the blues. Breaking your leg because an alligator be chomping on it is.
You can't have blues in an office or a shopping mall. The lighting is wrong. Go out to the parking lot or sit by the dumpster.
Good places for the blues. A highway, a jailhouse, an empty bed, or the bottom of a whiskey glass. Bad places for the blues. Nordstrom's, gallery openings, Ivy League colleges, and a golf course.
No one will believe it's the blues if you wear a suit, unless you happen to be an old ethnic person and you slept in it.
Do you have the right to sing the blues? Yes, if you're older than dirt, you blind, you shot a man in Memphis, you can't be satisfied. No, if you have all your teeth, you were once blind, but now you can see, the man in Memphis lived, or you have a 401k or trust fund.
Blues is not a matter of color. It's a matter of bad luck. Tiger Woods cannot sing the blues. Sonny Liston could. Ugly white people also got a leg up on the blues.
If you ask for water and your darling gives you a gasoline, it's the blues. Other acceptable blues beverages are cheap wine, whiskey or bourbon, muddy water, nasty black coffee. The following are not blues beverages: Perrier, Chardonnay, Snapple, and a Slim Fast.
If death occurs in a cheap motel or a shotgun shack, it's a blues death. Stabbed in the back by a jealous lover is another blues way to die. So are the electric chair, substance abuse, and dying lonely on a broken down cot. You can't have a blues death if you die during a tennis match or while getting liposuction.
Some blues names for women: Sadie, Big Mama, Bessie, Fat River Dumpling.
Some blues name for men: Joe, Willie, Lil Willie, Big Willie.
Persons with names like Amber, Jennifer, Tiffany, Debbie, and Heather can't sing the blues no matter how many men they shoot in Memphis.
And the last one: no matter how tragic your life, if you own a computer, you cannot sing the blues. Okay. Well, that took a lot longer than I thought.
That's pretty good.
Apparently, that was cute. It's hilarious if you got four bottles of J.W. Lee's up in you. Okay, so we got one more bit of class and culture before we polish off this and go around and judge the last beer. And Rick?
You ready?
I'm ready.
Cue the music. It's time for the Big Foamy Head Interpretive Dance Theater. It's a presentation of Beer Haiku from BeerHaikuDaily.com. Here for the beer. Rolling into town, seeing the sights is nice, but we're here for the beer. Written by Captain Hops, Beer Haiku.
That was your Beer Haiku for your Fort Collins trip, right?
Exactly. Rolling into town. I do that a lot. I'm going to Madison. I'm going to roll into town. I'm here for the beer.
There's a bunch of things coming up. That got your great taste of the Midwest and all kinds of things, right? In the midst of summer with the death heat here in Memphis, 100-something degrees in the shade. And
that's why you guys have fun in May, because everything else sucks.
That's right. It's in May, the cool goes
till October, man, and then college football strikes up.
All right, so let's recap this and be sure to listen to the one that we really were serious about, our Coco Taylor homage on the last show. And sorry all them people are dead, but
it's life.
That's life. Or is it? Okay.
Wait, I got a poll for you guys. Did you guys have the Farrah Fawcett poster when you were in high school?
I did not.
Yes, I did.
I did.
John didn't.
So
I had several buddies that had them too, you know.
Yeah, I looked at that one a lot.
I never had it. No one in my family had
it. And, you know, I can remember there was a couple of times, and I remember this, that we went to buy it, and it was sold out, and had to go back and back and back and to get it.
Well, the awesome part of that poster, I mean, I know it's a little risque, but her nipples were about the size of a thumb.
Yeah, well, that's what everybody liked about it.
That's why everybody wanted it.
Yeah.
Why would you want it if it didn't have that?
Yeah, and so everybody said, "Did you notice how big a smile she had?" And Rick said, "She was she was smiling."
How white her teeth were.
Yeah, what did her face look like?
Yeah.
Okay. Beautiful. Her hair was done.
That's
nice,
right.
Bit.
Whoa, there's all kinds of urban crap about that poster.
Well, what about Mr. Jackson? We gonna talk about him a little more? Wacko Jacko?
No? Nah, to hell with him. There's enough crap on TV. That's it. All right, so let's recap the beers, the four beers that we had, which were actually one beer aged in different casks. We had J.W. Lee's Harvest Ale, 11.5%-ish alcohol in the Lavagulin whiskey first. Then we had the Calvados. Then we went to the Sherry, and then to the Port Cask. These are the 2007 model. Okay, so Rick, which one did you think was your favorite of the four?
Tough call, real tough call. You know, I'm a big whiskey fan, so I love that, but I'm going to go with the Sherry, I think, which surprises me, because I wasn't even going to try the Sherry.
Yeah, that's mine. Sherry.
You like the Sherry?
Yeah, definitely.
John?
That one was good. I kind of like the last one, too.
The port
was pretty good.
Okay. Now, here's the big question, though. Do you think, because your palates were wrecked by two 11.5%ers off the top, do you think that had anything to do with it?
I really do. I think so, because, you know, the first ones were a little obnoxious, you know, and then, and then you know, by the time you've had a couple, it's...
So you think maybe these are a little sweeter than you think?
Yeah.
But because, like you said, the first ones are kind of obnoxious. Yeah. Okay, well, so that was good stuff, and be sure to visit beersafari.com. It's Jungle of Beer out there, an assload of podcast at beersafari.com. And this just in, not about Walter Cronkite, go to Big Foamy Head on Facebook. That's starting to rev up. Things are starting to get put out there. We're going to be posting shows on there.
Join our group. We have a group.
Tell your friends.
Head Facebook. La 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 la.
I'm hoping that
Dick will send a group invite to his 13,000 friends.
Absolutely.
How do we get there from here?
You go to facebook.com. Perhaps you've heard of it.
No, I haven't.
I know.
Your wife's on there.
Yeah, your wife's
she's
on there.
Friend. She taught, she's my friend.
She's my friend, too. Your wife has a lot of friends you don't know about.
Hmm.
Maybe you shouldn't get on
Maybe
there.
I need to get on there.
So we started posting shows on there, and lots more stuff to come. All right, so good stuff from J.W. Lee's. Very nice, although a little pricey, but very nice beers. And it's barley wine, so how can you possibly go wrong?
Avoid the chunkage.
Avoid the chunkage.
You know what it's like.
All right. Well, let's wind it up and call it done.
Enjoy your dive-in movie.
We got a dive-in movie to do. All right. See you next time.
Drive safe.
Come back and see us.